Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Oh, you got your hand up with, it's fourth quarter, Andy, so you're ready to roll, right? Ready to finish strong?
I'm ready. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jimmy.
All right. That's okay. This special fourth quarter is brought to you by GoPSURV.com. We're celebrating the return of the fans, and Mark's having a wonderful deal for that first game versus Ball State. Get one RV for the weekend. You get a second one for free. What a deal. All you got to do is call Mark at 800-519-8467 for all the details. You want to be there. That's the first home game in like 2 years. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm Jim Galante, back with Andrew P. Shea. Andy, we did something a little different earlier this week when Dustin was off. I had a listener co-host the show. And Steve...
Interesting.
Yep. Steve did a great job. And Steve set the agenda with the topics that he wanted to address. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to get your feedback on his takes. Trust me, Steve is sitting out there listening very hard at what you have to say about his takes. And the two topics that he brought up were the quarterback play in general and Sean Clifford specifically, and also James Franklin's coaching. Now, quarterback and coach, when have you heard this before from a Penn State fan or probably any college football fan across the country? Let's start with the quarterback play because it's really been a fascinating history for James Franklin and the quarterback situation at Penn State, starting with the quarterback he inherited, Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah, did he have Christian for 1 year?
Yes, I believe 1 year.
If I remember correctly, it was just 1 year. In my mind, the quarterback under James Franklin starts with Trace McSorley, right? It was the quarterback battle that we really didn't think was a battle because, you know, Trace came in that bowl game against Georgia and played so well when Hackenberg got hurt in his final game. And it was just assumed that he would be the starter. And it turns out that, you know, James wasn't, you know, sort of, he wasn't shortchanging the fact that it literally was a real competition. But to me, it starts with Trace. And in my mind, he's had two quarterbacks that were sort of his quarterbacks and his guys. And that's Sean Clifford and Trace McSorley. I mean, you know, Trace was a three-star guy that nobody really wanted to make a quarterback or give him an opportunity to be a quarterback. But James said he would do it at Vanderbilt. And then when he came to Penn State and took the new job, he's like, hey, you want to come? My offer, as I set it up, still stands. And, you know, he got a lot of, you know, I think Trace was drafted. End of story. Trace got drafted into the NFL. How much development is that? You could talk, you know, he holds a ton of Penn State passing records. You know, he had Joe Moorhead as an OC. That helps. But he got a lot of mileage out of Trace McSorley. I think that raised the expectation because as they were recruited, Clifford was a better recruit as a quarterback than Trace McSorley. So that raised the expectations for the quarterback position at Penn State under James Franklin. That's where I'll stop my first bit on that.
Well, here was Steve's take was that, you know, Trace McSorley was not a highly recruited guy. I think you still have to give James Franklin kudos for bringing in a guy that other people wanted to turn into a safety. And
Correct. This
guy turned out to be an NFL quarterback. Then you go to Sean Clifford where, you know, especially with the 2020 season, I think a lot of people, most people, were disappointed in his performance. No debate there. But then the question becomes, gee, how come Franklin, this great recruiter, hasn't been able to bring in a better quarterback? And you had, you know, a couple famous guys who decommitted. People may have forgotten Brandon Wimbush, but Justin Fields decommitted.
Absolutely.
You have regional guys. You have Jerkovic from Pennsylvania who committed to Notre Dame. You have McCord, who was from Jersey but played in Philadelphia, committed to Ohio State. You have Caleb Williams from the D.C. area who committed to Oklahoma just last season, who was a very high-level quarterback. So the critique is it fair to say James Franklin has not brought in that elite quarterback that you need to excel?
He definitely has not brought in that elite quarterback, right? He hasn't landed one yet. And I don't think Penn State is – you look at Penn State as a, you know, a quarterback school. You just don't. I mean, I think eventually if we're, you know – if you give – if James – after James's first decade of coaching at Penn State, and he still hasn't landed one, right? So you give him another 3 years. If he still hasn't landed one, then you start to think, you know, it becomes a sort of a mark on his record that he is not – the former quarterback has – and who develops quarterbacks pretty darn well, I must say. He hasn't landed one of those elite guys to start with. Then it becomes problematic. I don't see it as problematic right now. They're not a perennial Big Ten title contender because freaking Ohio State's in their division, right? That's always going to be a hurdle to climb. Obviously, college football playoffs matter. I think they're a top 10, 15 overall program in the country. And are there 10 to 15 quarterbacks every year that are elite? No, right? So there's only a few schools that are going to get those elites, but eventually you've got to get one. And, you know, he's gotten them at other positions. He's developed them and turned them into studs at other positions. I think the quarterback's going to, you know, it's just going to dog him a little bit until he gets the one. I will say this, though, in all fairness, I do fully believe that James knows what he needs in a quarterback, quote unquote needs, right? Like, what do I need to run this program and this offense? What do I need in a quarterback? And I also am very confident that he knows what he wants in an elite quarterback. I really do. And I think he knows what it looks like. And I think he has a unique ability to identify him early by some of the decommits. But the other part, flip side of it is, he hasn't brought one across the finish line. So that's the, you know, that's the thing. When it comes to Sean Clifford, I understand the criticism. I really do. He took a step back in 2020, and that is a huge, huge deal in the development of a quarterback. Like, he had the 2019 season, and it was good, not great. There were little things you could nitpick at and say, okay, he'll work on him and get better. Well, not only did those things that were, you know, sort of his little shortcomings not get better overall at some of the other big picture things, he just got worse, and it just snowballed on him. I look at it holistically from my viewpoint. He's made 25 starts and appeared in 25 games. He's approaching 5,000 yards. His completion percentage is right around 60% as a Penn State quarterback. That should be higher. He's got 41 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. That's not a great ratio. But the crazy part of it is, in 2020, his percentage completion was a full point higher than 2019. Now, that's irrelevant because overall, as a quarterback, he took a big step, not just a small step. He took a big step backwards as the number one QB at that position, as QB1 for Penn State. Overall, he took a step backwards. That is going to be a big, big part of the 2021 season. Overall, I still think he's pretty good. I still think he's still what James Franklin needs in a quarterback, but he has to now take two steps forward, not just one.
I also believe, Andy, that he's going to be a lot better this season than his critics. I believe because I think the things that were wrong with him, they're mistakes. I keep calling them blunders. You see the mistake and say, "Wait a minute, Sean Clifford, you're better than that. That's not a mistake you should be making. In the couple minutes we have left, Andy, I want to get to that other topic, which was James Franklin's coaching. And we've heard these things. These were the things that Steve highlighted, and I'll bring up to you. When he had the opportunity a couple years ago against Ohio State multiple times in the Rose Bowl against USC, they had leads late, double-digit leads, and they couldn't hold that lead. They couldn't finish the game. Is that a fair criticism?
I would say it's a fair criticism in big games, yes. In big games against major opponents, the Rose Bowl is a huge game. USC is a major opponent. Obviously, Ohio State. Double-digit leads and fourth quarter and you know, losing those leads and getting a little bit run away from in that fourth quarter, not just beat, but run away from, that's – in big games, it's even more magnified. Is that problematic? Absolutely. That's fair criticism.
Do you think he has taken the steps in the last couple of years? We saw in 2019 Noah Cain pounding the ball and finishing a game. Do you look at that as an indicator? And even he had the Will Levis fourth down, fourth and one, third and one, and they were very successful with that. Do you think that was James Franklin recognizing the issue and fixing it?
Identifying a weakness. He had the tools in his toolkit to do it, which Noah Cain was. Four-minute offense was always a bit of a bugaboo for him in the beginning. Yes. And you had the tools to do it, and he recognized it as a weakness. I thought in 2019 their four-minute offense was a strength. Yep. I really did. I don't think you can measure much in terms of 2020 because it was just such a weird year. But I still think he has the horses to finish out a game, yes.
Real quickly.
And part of it is the defense.
Okay, real quickly, that's where I went ahead. Steve thought Brent Pry's been getting a free pass. What do you think?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I think he's developed. My criticism of his is in the fourth quarter, it looks like a different defense too often than in the first three quarters, especially with a one plus score lead. And that's coaching.
Yeah, I think too often we've seen them stop a team on first down, stop a team on second down. It's third and long, and a big play happens. Oftentimes I wonder if the opponent thinks, oh, it's third and long. We've got them right where we want them. Andy, that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.